Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank of katelovingshank.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health. Joining me tonight is Jordan Gray, and I should call him the co-author of the book, The Seventh Major Understanding, A Message of Awakening. The source of this spiritual philosophy is Joshua, a non-physical being. Jordan began channeling Joshua in 1980, and he became a diligent student of the seventh major understanding from that moment on. After 30 years of learning and living the spiritual concepts of oneness, he collaborated with Joshua to write the book. Jordan and Joshua enjoy an inseparable connection, and they both love talking to people. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Jordan Gray and Joshua. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Hello, Kate. I am great. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much. And thanks for coming on the show. And that fact that this is the beginning of your virtual book tour for your book is very exciting. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much for letting me kick off my virtual book tour on your show.
You're welcome. Let's see here. We had you on the show before, so remind us remind our listeners what your book is about.
Gladly. So basically, the seventh major understanding can be summed up in the word oneness. The book is about the spiritual philosophy, the energy of the connection to all that is, the oneness that is indeed here and inseparable from each and every part of the one, no matter what form it may take. So the book is about our path into an age of peace, love, abundance, and understanding. And the pathway into that from Joshua's point of view is to just gently awaken everyone to say, hey, remember, there's only one being here. So in our oneness, there's a great deal of acceptance for one another. So before we go too much further, I do want to tell people that sometimes in my speech I'm hesitant or I'm pausing, and that's because I'm looking for the words that Joshua wants to speak. Sometimes Jordan and Joshua get on the channel at the same time, and we get really excited, and we talk really fast. And then other times, there's a lot of thoughtfulness and meditation and pausing. So please, I hope your listeners will enjoy this roller coaster ride with me.
Going slow and going fast, huh?
Yes.
Up and down we go, right? Now, you don't want to talk about, I think it would be cool to have you come on and channel Joshua sometime, but what we'll do tonight is talk about the content of the book and not the method of delivery, right? That's what we want to do.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate that. You know, I realize that there are a lot of people who are curious about channeling and how that comes about and what it all means, etc. And I'd be happy to come on your show sometime and just talk about my experience with it and what that was like for me. But tonight, yeah, I'd really just like to focus on the content of the book.
Right on. And I will take you up on coming on and channeling sometime or talking about your experience with channeling. That would be great. So
okay.
In your book, in your book, and before I forget, where can people buy your book? I know they can go to Amazon, but where can they find more about you and what is your website?
Oh, my website address is 7thmajoruNderstanding.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's with number 7.
Correct. The digit 7.
Okay.
So 7th, 7thmajoruNderstanding.com. Thanks for asking, Kate.
Yeah, well, we'll repeat that again. You talk about the golden age in the book, and the golden age is now, or is it in the future, or has it been in the past? Tell us about the golden age.
Wow, it's really interesting the way you framed that question. Of course, the golden age is only ever now. And yet, the frequency that we are vibrating in on the planet right now is like we're on the very doorstep of this golden age. And let me just say this term, the golden age, is just kind of a catchphrase that Joshua coined in the book, quite to my surprise, actually, that Joshua brought up as just a way of saying the age of peace, love, abundance, and understanding, rather
mm-hmm.
than saying all those words each time. He wanted to refer to this energy transition that we're going through, this change of vibration on the planet. So he started
mm-hmm.
just kind of summing it all up in the catchphrase, golden age. But golden
wow,
age
that's,
also
that's
brings,
very good. Mm-hmm.
It brings forth a vision, if you will, of how our world will be and how we will live differently with one another when we rise above this fear-based energy that drives us now. And when I say us, I'm talking about collectively. Certainly there are many of us who are driven more from our energy of love and have released a great deal of our fear of each other. But the mass consciousness, the collective energy on the planet, still has a tendency to react or respond to one another from a fear-based
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the transition that the planet is going through is that more and more and more of us are waking up to our connection to all that is, that we are the one. And in our oneness, we have no reason to fear each other at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are safe. We live in a safe universe, as Seth used
yes.
to say.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, from someone like myself who works in a corporate environment, I do see a lot of fear. And it's a very difficult environment to work in. And I'm just wondering why it has to. When is the collective, mindset going to wake up and throw it all off? I mean, it hasn't happened yet. I'm just wondering, is it going to happen in terms of the end of the Mayan calendar, or is it something that's going to happen relatively soon? Because I've heard predictions that say that suddenly it's just going to happen. It'll happen very quickly. And the powers that be that are stuck in the fear-based ways of being will have to either come along or maybe not, but they won't survive. I don't know what. It's just very confusing to me what's going on, because when you look at it now, you see a lot of fear that is just, you know, I think it might be a death grip of some sort. Before they ultimately keel over and die. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, really? That's very interesting thinking, Kate. Well, first of all, the golden age of humanity already exists in a parallel, shall we call it, a parallel reality, a different dimension of our humanity that's already there. So all we are doing is making this very gradual shift, but it can happen very suddenly. There is a point of something called critical mass where suddenly in the mass awareness there is a knowledge that no longer belongs to a specific tribe or a small group of people. When it reaches a certain unknown number, shall we say, there can be a very rapid shift over. Now, Joshua doesn't choose dates. Time and numbers and dates really don't mean much to him. He won't set appointments with me either. So what I'm getting at, though, is this the date around when the Mayan calendar ends and et cetera. Joshua doesn't put a great deal of validation into those things. Doesn't mean that they're not significant. Not at all. I'm not trying to say that those numbers are not significant. But I am just saying that the way Joshua sees our transition into a new reality is that it is kind of happening really gradually, and there are pockets of resistance. And it sounds like what you were talking about is working in a corporate environment where you see fear being played out quite often in the people in the corporate environment. And that would, might be some pocket of resistance. Maybe within a business in the United States of America, maybe business all over the globe is going to be one of the last areas that wants to say, we don't have to compete with each other to be successful. Yeah, we can be successful in cooperation. We can be successful in collaboration. We can lift one another up and actually inspire each other to be our best. So this idea that there are these pockets of resistance is not not surprising. You know, you remind me of that saying, the darkest hour is just before the dawn, right?
Yeah,
there are
yeah.
some areas maybe that are clinging so tightly onto the ways that they know for fear of letting go, the fear of, I don't know what comes next, so I better hold on to what I know. And what I know is to compete with others and to be suspicious of others and not trusting other people. And so these are the ways I know. And now there are people, there are so many, and there are young ones coming in, and there are folks in their golden years, just like I'm approaching, who are saying, wait a minute now, we can let go of that and hold on to love. And just hold on to love. And that's what is Joshua's point of view on what's helping us make this transition. But sure enough, there are going to be people who are fearful of change. It is human nature.
To be fearful of change.
Yes. To have that fear of change is human nature. So we don't want to judge that harshly. We don't want to say, oh, poo-poo on you, you know. There you go, be careful. You know, hey, it just, what do you do when a child is afraid? You hold them close. You open your arms and say, come here, child. I love you. And that calms their fears. And that's the best way that I know of to respond to people in fear, is just to hold out my arms and say, it's okay. I love you. Be not afraid.
Well, there's another way. But I won't go into that right now. I don't want to say what that
yourself,
is.
Be yourself, Kate.
Yeah. No, I don't really want to say what I want to say right now. So it just has to do with you can do that for a while until you hit a wall, and then you turn around and you go somewhere else, and actually you move on. Moving on is what I am doing within this situation. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes. Oh, I understand that completely. Yeah. If the environment is uncomfortable for you, if you feel like you're walking into this broiler every day where you're just getting cooked, get out of the soup.
That's good. Yeah. There's no sense in doing something that doesn't advance your consciousness in any way, and also that. You know, unable to help other people within an environment that has become so toxic that nobody is really being themselves. And it's just one of those amazing experiences to actually witness. And witness for as long as I could. I mean, it really hasn't always been this way, but it just suddenly became this way. And I think I really believe that it has to do with the death grip that I was referring to. And the pockets of resistance are getting so intense wherever they may be that, you know, you can either, I don't really know, you know, you can ride it out, but I don't choose to do that.
Yeah.
Riding it out. You know, it's time to go somewhere where, and to do the things we're doing here. I mean, you know, writing books and raising the consciousness of the people we meet and the people who read our books and the classes we create around the messages of our work and all these things. You know what happens to me, that in doing what we're doing here and writing our books and creating messages that resonate with more and more people, is that I can't stand environments that stifle me. It's kind of like all of a sudden realizing that I can't play both ends against the middle anymore. I have to walk away. I have to leave.
Yes. Follow your bliss to the best of your ability and whenever possible. Follow your bliss because, you know, what we fill ourselves up with is what we have to share. And so if you're walking into environments that are causing you to close down and be protective, then you are in an environment where you're unable to share that which you have to offer. So, yeah, follow your bliss. Get into places where you feel open and warm and you can just share your true heart with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, the golden age, as you say, is happening concurrently in an alternate reality at this point. So, and more and more of us can feel this. And when the pockets of resistance are so difficult to fathom, there's no sense. You know, we don't have to be in those environments if we don't want to be.
Correct. You always have the choice. Always.
Yes, that's right. So what are the major things, the major questions that people ask you, like the, you know, common questions and answers that you get when it comes to the seventh major understanding? And then, you know, how does Joshua explain these things to your audience, general audience?
Well, Joshua often tries to use analogies or real life stories that people can relate to. That's one of his tools that he prefers to use in trying to share examples of things that get confusing or baffling. Some of the seventh major understanding is an intellectual challenge, let's call it that, an intellectual puzzle maybe. And that is because there is such a paradox in truth. So one of the things that a lot of people struggle with is Joshua's point of view about the fact that being a multidimensional being in only a single moment of now, all of the lifetimes that are within your whole self are happening concurrently. They all happen simultaneously. And when people start to usually are just getting interested in what is this stuff about other lifetimes, you know, they want to think more in a linear fashion of reincarnation, you know, like there are past lifetimes and there are future lifetimes, and they want to put these lifetimes on some kind of linear line. Now I'm repeating myself. Anyway, Joshua's point of view is that all of our lifetimes are simultaneous. So some people struggle with trying to understand how can that be? How does that work?
Yeah.
You know, I know that this lifetime I was born, you know, I got bigger, and then someday I'm going to depart. And so I see my life in a very linear manner. And so we want to see incarnation, multiple lifetimes, also happening in some kind of order. And from Joshua's point of view, that is a part of the illusion that causes separation rather than bringing us into oneness.
Mm-hmm.
There is
mm-hmm.
only one being here. So when you look at it that way, you already are having, in this very time space, you're having 7 billion lifetimes, aren't you?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah. So, and you're also all the animals that are here and every rock on the planet. And so, yeah, you are every star in the heavens and out and in and out and in we go. So you are the one. You are all that is from Joshua's point of view. And yet we get to have our own little private play of a lifetime. So I was just talking to someone just yesterday, a good friend, that was curious about reincarnation. And just starting to explore reincarnation. And I think that, you know, trying to share with her Joshua's point of view about all these lifetimes being simultaneous may have been just like serving a big dinner. And somebody gets too full after a while and really needs a break. And, you know, early on, Kate, it was like that with me too. You know, as I said, I've been studying the seventh major understanding for 30 years. And in the beginning, there were things where, oh, yeah, yeah, intellectually, heck, I get that. I know what I'm talking about. I was clueless.
Yeah. Right,
but the more
right,
right. I had to, you know, eat a little bit, take a break, eat a little bit more, take a break. You know, and pretty soon you start to grasp the whole picture.
Yeah, it's really easy to fall back into this reincarnation idea. All the time, it's so easy to suddenly fall back onto it. Just because people are still able to fathom that idea.
Right.
But fathoming, I think it's easy to understand also that it's all happening at once. I can understand that finally.
Right.
Finally. It took me a long time to understand it too.
Yeah, yeah. I think the main point of that, the real purpose of grasping that all lifetimes are simultaneous means that they are also eternal. And only ever now, always eternal. So there isn't any way, it is impossible for you to suffer in this lifetime for something you did in another.
Okay,
that cannot
yeah.
be done. Cannot be done. So just get in this moment and live this moment as if it is the only moment you have to live. For this is the truth.
Oh,
right
is
now
true.
Is the only moment we have in which to live. Consciousness is only ever here now. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really opens it up, doesn't it? It opens up a whole dimension. It's like huge dimensions are opened up.
I'd like to think so. Anyway, just, yeah, the idea that your soul is going through some kind of evolution where it lives a lifetime where maybe it's struggling and maybe being a bad guy or whatever, and then you advance into other lifetimes until you're enlightened. You know, that is Eastern religion, and I understand its purpose, and it had a very beautiful reason for coming into being. And yet at the same time, Joshua really urges us now to look beyond the Eastern and Western religions and to come into our awareness of wholeness.
Right, right. I wonder why Eastern religion is so much into linear time.
Well, you know, your whole life tells you that life is linear. You know, while we're in the river of time, linear time is very real, and that's part of the paradox. That's why this is so confusing for people to grasp, because, of course, you know, I remember things I did last year, and I had appointments just last week, and I know I've got things going on tomorrow. So time is real for us. Time is very real for us in this physical dimension. When we stumble over it is when we start to think that maybe there's something I did long ago that's out of my control that I'm suffering for now. That is that's what Joshua wants us to break away from.
Right.
Yeah, you cannot be suffering now for something you did at another time. Seth, one of your favorite teachers, would say, you cannot live life on the installment plan.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. So before we get to too much deeper into just, that was just one of the things that people are challenged sometimes to wrap their mind around is that all time is now, and that we are not just physical beings, but these multidimensional beings where right now, even while I am in my Jordan-ness and being a human being, I also get to be a guide and an oversoul and an angel, and I am also an amoeba and a grain of sand and all of these things that I am, the physical and non-physical. This is multidimensional being. And then when you get deeper into multidimensional being, you start to see parallel universe, parallel reality. And you know what? I'm not completely crazy. No. what I want to say is that quantum physics is starting to postulate about parallel dimensions, about parallel realities.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, whatever we seek, we find. And, of course, quantum physics gets bored with the real physics of this world, and they start looking what is beyond. And when they look beyond, oh, by golly, they'll find it.
So
those of us who have known this all along just go, heck yeah. So nice of you to say that there may be parallel realities.
Well, that's what you said. So I was just saying the same. I believe that that's true, because the best time or the most revealing truth about the alternate realities is in our dreams. And I had a hypnotist here on the show a few weeks ago, and all my life I had a hard time understanding how a person could actually go into a hypnotic state and do anything that the hypnotist told them to do. Like, for instance, just the hypnotist suggesting that there is a wall in front of them, which really there isn't, you know, this, and telling them that when they woke up, they wouldn't be able to leave because of the wall. So the person wakes up and gets up and is angry because of just kind of being manipulated or whatever, gets up and tries to leave and keeps crashing into this wall that doesn't exist. I said, now how, you know, beyond the fact that there's a subconscious, unconscious mind that the hypnotist is speaking to, I don't understand how this could happen. I just don't understand it. He said, well, the best way to understand it is through the dream state. And, you know, how everything gets sort of mixed up and everything is not linear at all in a dream. It's all these images, all these fantasies, all these different things that come up. And nothing is linear and everything is all mixed up. And he said, and that's how you can explain the hypnotic state. Is because when they wake up, they're still in that state, and they are somehow projecting what it is that the hypnotist told them to do, or told them that there was a wall or whatever. And so, really, our dream world can show us exactly what it is that you're talking about. We can understand this oneness and this concurrent time and all of that there isn't any reincarnation and all that by really paying attention to our dreams.
Good point. That is very interesting information that hypnotist shared with you. I also think that the dream state is the most evident other dimension of reality that as humans we enter into often.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we're trying to, I had Samantha on my show last week, Samantha West, and she and I decided to form the closed dream group over on Facebook, just because when you are in a group of people and discussing your dreams with each other, well, first of all, you want it to be a closed group because you don't want all of your Facebook friends to read it. And number two, there's something so intimate about discussing your dreams with people, and something so reflective and contemplative. There's nothing more beautiful than having a dream group. We used to have one back in the 1970s. We never forgot it, and that's what I'm trying to replicate with that dream group over there on Facebook. Are you there?
I'm here. I just thought I didn't have anything to add to that, so I was just being still.
Well, of course, you're a member of the group, so whenever you have a dream, let us know.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I dream often. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So, I also wanted to.
Yeah.
What?
Go ahead.
I wanted to say that another thing that Joshua is often asked about is to discuss this, how we create our own reality and what that really means from his point of view. Most people suddenly hear that and think, oh, now I am the master of my whole reality, all my stuff I have control over. And Joshua doesn't quite see it that way. So that's another subject that he gets into in the book a little bit. And often with people, when they say, hey, you tell me I create my own reality, and then just the other day some poop happened, you know? Some poop happened in my life, and I didn't create that. And I'm like, okay. And, of course, from his point of view, yes, you did. And people get a real resistance to that. They just don't want to accept that, hey, if I'm creating my own reality, there wouldn't be any pain, there wouldn't be any war, and there wouldn't be hunger, and nobody would suffer. And so why would you tell me I'm creating my own reality? That's just baloney. And so that's another challenging thing that is often questioned around the seventh major understanding.
Creating our own reality, and there's that, and there's taking responsibility. So when a person says, I did not create that reality, they're basically not taking responsibility for something that happened. Because, and taking responsibility or even creating your own reality is not a reason to get, beat yourself up. It's just...
Right.
It is really an opportunity to delve deeply as to why, not even to analyze it but necessarily, but to just take responsibility. Well, my attitude was such, and I was a little closed-minded, and usually it's a total loveless perception that causes poop in your life, really.
Yeah. So I always ask myself, because sure enough, I still have my challenges. There are days when I'm going, now, why did I want that? And that's the question I really do ask myself. Why did I want that? What am I learning from this? And
well, that's the crucial question. What is the major, the major understanding. What is the major lesson that needs to be learned how can I learn it and embrace the learning, really?
Yeah, and then just go on to the next one, because there will be a next one.
Yes, there certainly will be a next one.
That's right.
Well, what is the seventh major understanding as opposed to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Is there one, what is the seventh major understanding? Is that the oneness thing that you were talking about earlier?
Yes. Well, if I may go into this in a little bit of detail, I would like to do that.
Yes, please.
There is really only one major understanding, and it is written in our genetic code. This one major understanding that reminds us who we are and our place in the cosmos. There's only one. And for the purpose of teaching, Joshua broke it into seven pieces for me. And then the seventh itself, he breaks into three parts. So, like I said, it's a big meal. You want to take it in pieces sometimes. And so he knew that in teaching this one understanding, the one knowledge of all, that it was easier for us as human beings to look at it in segments. So please know that there's really only one major understanding, and Joshua put it in seven parts for me, for us. Mm-hmm. And the seventh, the numbers, you see, I found, and I didn't discover this right away, it took me a while, I realized that the parts that he broke it into, the numbers kind of correspond to things in numerology. Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. Like, I didn't stumble on that till like 20 years into this game. So, the seventh major understanding, the seventh, seven vibrates with being introspective. Seven is the number of seeking answers from within.
Right.
For all the answers to all that we are dwells within us. There is no source out there that has the answers. It is all within us.
Mm-hmm.
Seven is also a number of mysticism and of philosophy. And so you start getting, this number of seven, this vibration around this number of seven is where Joshua really wants to focus in on the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
in the seven parts of the major understanding, he chose seven to represent oneness. And
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the first major understanding he talks about are coming into physical reality, are arising from this one consciousness of all that is into a dimension of physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the first major understanding is all about how did we find our consciousness attached to this three-dimensional space. And then the second
mm-hmm.
major understanding, he talks about the interaction between non-physical and physical, and he lumps that into mind, the psychological
mm-hmm.
interaction, because physical reality is obviously not all there is, because
right.
we have this consciousness that is formless and without boundaries, without limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And so he tells us that in this second major understanding, Joshua talks about this psychological interaction between that which is the physical manifestation and that which is never, ever in physical form, always
mm-hmm.
an eternal non-physical. So mind is the bridge between our spiritual self and our physical self, and it's always ever present.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then in the third part of the seventh major understanding, if you will, Joshua talks about our power to create, our power as creators, that we are endowed with the very same consciousness that is at the source of all that is. So we are creators, and we are creators on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to create our own reality, and then you and I, we have a reality that overlaps, and together we're creating this mass reality we call our global community,
mm-hmm.
and beyond that. So the third part of the seventh major understanding is about our power. The fourth part, the fourth major understanding, is stewardship. It's saying that this physical dimension, this beautiful earth that we have created for our own playground,
mm-hmm.
is our responsibility to maintain. So we have this beautiful playground here we created, or, you know, some people look at it as if it is the classroom or the laboratory. I like to see it as our beautiful playground. Whatever you see it as, this earth we created, and we have a responsibility for maintaining it, you know, in
That's
all
right.
of its beauty. Yes, in all of its beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And the earth herself has spirit, has soul, and she is worthy of our love, so
mm-hmm.
worthy of our love. So the fourth major understanding is about stewardship. The fifth part of the seventh major understanding is about our freedom,
mm-hmm.
our freedom of choice. No one can make you feel anything, but often we will say to someone, when you did that, I felt... Okay, that's a nice statement at least. But when you come up to someone and say, you made me feel.
Right.
You are giving all your power away. You are trying
right.
to give the power and the responsibility of your own feelings away. So in the teaching around our freedom, Joshua teaches that with freedom there is also responsibility. You know, and our country is a model of that. Isn't it amazing how our country models that for us? That even with all the freedoms we are granted as citizens of this country, we also have responsibilities. And then, of course, the sixth part of the seventh major understanding is spiritual family. And I think I mentioned to you before that when this chapter was so hard for me to write, because everything in this book is about oneness.
Right.
And it's all about the one, and we are all the one, and there's only one, and then, oh, in this chapter now, suddenly we're splitting up into groups.
right.
Yeah. And so that was a challenge for me to wrap my mind around, is to say, well, hold on, wait a minute, put the brakes on it. And the simple way to just recognize it is that we select a certain group to do our best work with. So we come into this theater or playground, and we choose who we want to play with on the playground and who we don't want to play with on the playground, who actually might have a whole lot to teach us. And we get to, so we have chosen the players that we put upon this stage with ourselves. But truly, there is only one being here. So our spiritual family right now is 7 billion strong, not to count the billions of species. And yet, I only interact with a select group for right now, because that's all I can get my little Jordan head around. You know, to interact with these people, because I chose them, and they chose me, and we're all playing roles for each other, and we're doing it perfectly, even though sometimes we chose people to be the agitator. Or maybe sometimes I get to play the agitator for somebody else. You know, we all take turns. And then, of course, the seventh part of the major understanding is oneness. And Joshua breaks oneness into three parts for my learning. And that is to grasp and to get a really good understanding of how we create our own reality, and that there is only one being here, and that even though it seems extremely real and all of my five senses tell me it is real, this dimension of reality is also a dream.
Yeah, it's a dream.
Yes.
That's getting back to that concept.
Anyway. Right. To Joshua, this reality also looks like a dream, but hey, I know I'm not dreaming right now, by golly.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of different philosophies say, and I believe it's true, that there's the waking dream and the sleeping dream, and really they are inseparable. I mean, you actually interpret the waking dream just as you would the sleeping dream.
Yes. That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah. Now, you had said something, the fifth major understanding, you and Joshua talk about our nature to judge. So what is that all about?
Yeah, okay. Well, I love talking about this subject because a lot of spiritual doctrine is put out there to teach us that it is wrong to judge. And so then we start feeling bad about judging. We start judging ourselves for judging, and it just gets into a deeper and deeper hole. And so Joshua wants us to release that and to recognize that judgment is a very natural part of our intuition. Mm-hmm. It is a very important part of our defining who we are in our own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there's only one being, right? So there's absolutely, positively no possible way I can judge another. You get it?
Right.
I cannot judge another. There's only one. So every judgment that I throw out there that I think I'm laying out on other people, I'm really just defining who I am. I'm defining what is right and wrong for myself. I am picking and choosing who to trust. You know, sometimes I decide someone is telling me a fib. And that's my judgment, and I have a right to it. So I decide maybe not to trust so much. Maybe this person who told me I just won millions of dollars in a foreign lottery that I didn't even enter could be telling me a fib.
Probably
so I'm not
going
to fall for that, right? Yeah, so I get to use my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And people dress the word judgment up in all kinds of fancy language. Sometimes they call it, well, it's my discernment. Well, that's just a fancy word for judge. it's my evaluation. Yeah, another fancy word for judging, you know. So don't be afraid to use the word judge. And I judge.
Well, what you said about judging is really just using your intuition. That's what I've always thought, too. You know, we have a caller on the line, 901 area code. Hello there. How are you this evening?
Hello. How are you?
Great. And what is your name?
This is Lanice.
Do you have a question for Jordan?
Well, no, I'm just listening in. I just tuned in and just caught about a minute or two of what's going on, but he's on point.
Well, Jordan is discussing his new book called The Seventh Major Understanding. And we were just talking about how the whole seventh major understanding is that we are all one and we are all related and we are all connected. And then Jordan is breaking it down for us. what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 major understandings are, but really it all has to do that we are all one. So that's where we're at in this conversation. But thank you for calling. Would you like, if you want to just continue listening, we'll just continue if that's okay.
Okay, I'll continue listening because I'm really trying to get it.
Okay. Is there something you have a question? Do you have a question about anything?
Well, it would be too complex. I'm just listening in.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So many questions. I think I'll hear as he goes on.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you so much for calling in. So, Jordan, just to summarize about judging, that
I'm not finished.
Yeah, oh, please go right ahead. Yeah.
There's just one other thought I want to add to that. You know, I'm very wordy. I'm sure you're getting used to me by now, Kate. So, the other point I wanted to add about judgment is that if I look at a beautiful tree and say, oh, how beautiful, guess what? I'm judging. And if I hear some music that just stimulates me and lifts me up and, oh, but inspired music, I'm using my judgment. And nobody gets all cranked up about that. Nobody says, oh, there you go, judging again. You're using your judgment. So we use our judgment. Yeah, we use our judgment in every way to define ourselves, what we find beautiful and what we find not beautiful. You know, what we find appealing and welcome in our reality and what we want to resist. So,
well, I think there might be different ways. Let me just say there's different approaches to judgment. I mean, today I was at an Occupy May Day celebration, and my job was to give a speech on the single-payer universal health care, which went over well. But the problem was that, if you want to call it a problem, was right before my speech, there was a very, very loud band, and it was so loud that I had to take Pearl out of the vicinity because you could tell it hurt her ears. So, I mean, I wasn't, you know, upset about it at all. I just took her out of the vicinity, and when I noticed that they were done because I was to speak after they performed, I came back, and I was standing in front of the podium, and this gentleman came over and started screaming at these kids. You know, how dare you be so loud and you're destroying people's ears? And he went on and on and on. And I turned to him and I said, you know, I have to give a speech now. And suddenly the wind came up and took all of my papers and put them all over the place, which reminds me of a dream. You know, the whole thing was reminding me of a dream because it just reminded me of a dream. There is such a thing as I really don't believe there's much difference between a waking and a sleeping dream. When it's all together, there's just no difference. And so I was not judging the music. This gentleman was, and a lot of people were sort of grumbling about the music, but the kids were just having a good time, and there was no sense getting down on them, and I just didn't want Pearl to hang out in too much because she really didn't like it. She wasn't judging it. She was just in need of being removed, and then we could come back. But I thought it was hysterical that the wind took my papers and blew them all away. Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, there's such a thing. There's a way of handling things. If you have a sense of humor about it, then to me, severe judgment lacks a sense of humor. You know, you are just not having fun when you get too judgmental.
Yes. And in addition to that, I'd like to add that sometimes when we get critically judgmental, when we're being really critical of someone or something, we're forgetting, I am that too.
Yes, I am that too, yeah.
Yeah.
So isn't that something, you have that in your
I'm
book,
loud
don't you?
What?
You have that, I am that too, as a form of, as like an exercise that you need to keep reminding yourself, really, that I am that too, I am that too.
Yes, it is something that has worked for me. And I did learn it from Ram Dass in a meditative training that, you know, whenever you look outward into what you think is out there, remember to stay one with it. And the way to be one with it is to remember, I am that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when someone is behaving in a way that really starts to kind of irritate me, for, like, example, in the past, babies crying used to really set me on edge. I can be much more peaceful with it now. And you know what? As I've advanced in being more peaceful with it, it's not happening around me anymore.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That is exactly the way it works. Yeah,
I am that, too. There was some part of me that was crying at the top of my lungs, wanting attention, and some other part of me trying to stifle it, control it. Stop that, you know?
Mm-hmm,
be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I realized I am that too, the less it irritates, or the less it makes me think I'm better than, or I'm separate from, or I'm somehow I've matured beyond this, or whatever.
Because
baloney. That's baloney.
Yes.
So yeah, judgment. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the I am statements, our I am statements are very important. To say that I am that too is helping you to connect with instead of separate yourself from.
Absolutely.
Our I am statements, and I've been studying this lately, have to do with that I am is a very powerful place to move from, but you have to watch your I am statements, because if you start saying I am stupid, I am whatever, I am this, I am afraid, I am, those I am statements have to be, are really the only thing we have to monitor, really, in our thinking process. We get all bent out of shape about having to control our thoughts and not think this and not think that, but when it comes right down to it, all we really have to control are our I am statements. And, you know, I am powerful, I am love, I am joy are the things that if we keep in our consciousness, we will become very strong.
I agree that the I am energy is the power we have to create.
Yes.
So whatever I declare that I am comes to me immediately, and I am that. So that which I declare I am calm, or I am upset. I am entitled to feel upset. It's nothing wrong. You know, I don't have to judge myself for having the whole spectrum of emotion. But
that's how
I act on my emotions, or how I act them out, that's something I want to monitor.
Yeah.
So I can say, I am angry. There's no crime in that. It is not a sin.
No.
Yeah, there's no shame in it either. I am angry. But as you observe today, a gentleman, you know, snarling at some young people because he didn't like what they did, then the way he was projecting his own agitation is something that deep within himself he really resists. And that was a point I also wanted to get to when it comes to judgment, is that what I resist is actually a compass pointing the way towards something I really am in favor of. So I'm pointing my compass toward what I'm upset about. Oh, well, let me get back into the root of that. Why does this trouble me so? And at the root of that, I will find something I'm strongly in favor of. So that man snarling at those kids who made loud music may have thought he was teaching them something, or he may have thought he was speaking up for the many who couldn't come up and address them about their music. Whatever it was he felt was his purpose, he was taking a very strong stand for what he's in favor of. But it was coming out in such a way that the energy of it, the vibration of it, could make even others around that uncomfortable. So you see how it spreads.
So our judgment is
the compass, and it's always pointing the way to what we are strongly in favor of and what we want to stand for. Instead of standing against.
I just want you to talk a little bit about the free book drawing that you're engaging in with your virtual book tour.
Oh, golly, yes. Thanks for bringing that up. So on my virtual book tour, I've decided to offer a free book drawing, and I'm giving away three books. And all you have to do is go to my website, which I'll repeat in just a moment, and enter to receive our monthly newsletter. It comes out about once a month. It's really very brief. The nature of it is to inspire you, because I know you are the teachers, you are the healers, and you are the leaders of change that are bringing about this new kind of reality, this new way of living together. So in that newsletter, the intention is to inspire you and lift you up and hold you up and say, I know who you are.
And I
am so grateful for you, and I'm so glad you are here. Because you see, oh, I could go on and on. Okay, I'll stop now.
What you're saying is that you appreciate the people and love the people who join your subscription list, because you have a great deal to offer, and you're going to give away three free books. And besides offering something of the spirit, you're offering three free books, which is really wonderful, I think. Because I've read your book, and I love your book, and I do highly recommend it. Highly.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. Thank you.
So
the website is 7thmajorunderstanding.com, and there's a /free-drawing, and that page gives you the details about just sign up for the newsletter. The drawing will be on May 21st. I am giving away three books, and if you're the one who's chosen, I will send you a personal email asking where to send your autographed book.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. Well, thank you for that. Now, do you have any closing thoughts?
I do have some closing thoughts, and Joshua was about to launch into that with me, because today I took the time to think in advance, what would Joshua want to communicate the most to these people listening right now or listening to the recording? And what he would want to say is, I know who you are. You are the teachers. You are the healers. You are the leaders of change. And together we are planting the seeds that are growing into a harvest of a new reality. A new time is coming on this planet. Keep your faith high. Build one another up. You see, because you are a teacher, you are also a healer. And those who focus most in the healing arts, you are teachers. All of you are leaders. Joshua believes to be a teacher of teachers, and it is a calling he sends to the teachers of this time. And if you hear his voice, he will hold you up. He will lift you up. He will inspire you because he knows
who you are.
Yes.
Beautiful. The trick is for us to know who we are. I am.
Yes.
I am. Yes.
I am. And I am enjoying this.
I am that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am that. I am that. That is the, you know, affiliating yourself with the highest divine order.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
My dear, I really appreciate your coming on, and I'm just going to be playing music for Mother and Child. I wish you great success with your virtual book tour. I will be following it. Just let us all know where you're going each time. And that will be terrific. Thank you. Again.
Thank you, Kay.
Love to you, Jordan. Love, love, love. Okay, here we go.